Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. This is episode 23.
Mark kick goal, free against handball!
And this week we had more twists and turns than Buddy running in for a set shot at goal. It doesn't look to be getting any easier for the prelims. What a big week in fantasy football! We're coming into the preliminary finals. It is all happening, and that is no word of a lie. It is all happening. I'm Roy, I coach Destroy, I'm here with Warnie.
Coach of the Warndogs!
And Calvin.
Coach of the disappointed Calvinator, because when dog wins, it feels like I've lost.
Yeah, well, it certainly does.
You wanted it to happen.
You've been all about the hashtag demise of the dog, but wow, it looked like he was done and dusted. He deserved to be gone. His team was pathetic, but somehow the Warn Dog finds a way. Now, if you haven't got, a cup of coffee with you or a vessel or something, go and get comfortable because Warn Dog's about to go on a half-hour story time about how he dug himself out of a massive, massive hole.
Well,
Warn Dog.
I'm only just coming down off the weekend because it was unbelievable. It was a roller coaster of emotions. Friday night, I had a terrible start with Mitch Duncan only having 48.
Yep.
That was not real good.
That's the point where hashtag demise of the dog was trending nationwide.
Then on Saturday, I was coming up against the first sort of player out there was for him, Lance Franklin.
Went all right too.
Track for kicking a lot. He had 157 in the end. At the same time, I had Brad Ebert running around for 52.
Not good.
So my first two players notched up 100 between them. His first player had 157.
You've still got Ebert.
He's solid for his hundreds. That's the thing.
And he's a midfielder.
That is bad coaching. Yo, Ebert and Duncan.
I had too many other issues, though. That was the thing.
What about who else you got there, though, Dom?
Who else do I have? Oh, well, I had plenty of other pretty ordinary ones. All of my uniques actually averaged or combined there together for 64 points.
Isn't that telling you
all
something?
All of my uniques.
Yes, isn't that telling you something?
Combined for 64. Hashtag. Absolutely ridiculous. And no wonder I was terrible.
Read my article for once. When have I ever said, get in Big Ed, Ebert?
You've never said it. No.
Anyway, so my team was pretty average there all across the weekend. His was pretty good, except he copped some pretty big carnage. And that first one for him was Josh Kennedy. So that was where I was going. That's the thing. With Franklin and Kennedy then combining, they were still flogging my first two players.
So you were still behind even though Kennedy went down for him?
Yep. And then that night he had Zorko and I was shot. Like I had, when you have the same players going and you're 100 points behind?
Yeah.
You're just going, just game
over. You were gone.
You can't make that up.
I read your emo tweet at that stage and I agreed that it should have been emo because you were gone.
I was looking up those bloody five stages of grief and I was just wondering at what point was I at. Then, all of a sudden, I'm going down to a bit of local footy, check Twitter and see what's going on. Late changes. Jack McRae.
Oh my God, you're getting kissed off.
Isn't he?
Actually, and I lied to you. He had one more player than me and he was up by about 100 or something.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. And so anyway, he had him.
So you were definitely gone.
I was gone. So Jack McRae, ooh, there's a glimmer of hope there for the Warn Dogs. And
so that gave him a donut.
That gave him a donut because he didn't have cover for that.
Right.
At that point, I hadn't actually had my little emergency score of 38 counted for Pendles, who was out the night before. We both had him. He didn't have cover there. So a little bit of fortune favours the smart coach there, and
the lucky coach, yes.
And then it came down to Sandilands versus Birchall. Surprisingly,
what an that's an amazing matchup.
It was, and Birchall only needed to get within 5 points of Sandilands because I thought it was more than that before because my emergency hadn't been added.
Yep,
came down to 5 points. I only realised that in the last quarter. At that point, I think Birchall was about 40-odd points behind.
Yeah, he was getting flogged.
So it was getting smashed. Anyway, so at that point,
your odds would have been over 10 to 1 at that stage.
And then I turned, then I watched the game, was watching what was going on, and got a little bit excited in the last quarter. Sandilands only had 4 touches. He was in the back line.
Four points. 4 points.
He wasn't in. Your mate, Zach Clark, was in the ruck.
Oh, he didn't do anything, though,
dog. Oh, he was getting the plus ones for the hit-outs, but yep. Sandy wasn't there.
That's
just
all
getting
he needed.
Those to tick him over. And then Birchall went on a rampage. 38 points in the last
That's
quarter.
That's a sentence that I've never heard before.
Well, that is a rampage. 38 points. That was, oh, geez, I was even calling it pig-like because it
was...
Oh,
wow. My goodness. How excited was he?
He was on 21 points at half-time, I think.
Oh, yeah,
it was.
I saw that.
Three-quarter time.
He had a 38-point last quarter.
And anyway, so what that meant, he had two handballs late in the game, and that got me my four-point win. All of the time while I'm watching that and getting excited, shaking, standing a foot away from
the
TV. So
you were literally shaking?
I was. I think I'll get it back again now. And then all of a sudden, Sandilands, nowhere to be seen, not getting those little... I was thinking, they kicked a goal. Hawthorne kicked a goal. I'm going, oh, no. That was deep in the game. And it's going back to the centre. I'm watching. I'm going, oh, no, that's Zach Clark in there. And, oh, I was just getting so... Anyway, end of the day. Sorry, that's been pretty quick, actually. Oh, you would have struggled to get through a cup of coffee in that, Gowan. so at the end of the day, the Warndogs got up. By 4 points.
Who knows how?
Into the preliminary final.
That is the definition of kissed on.
Well, look, and just quietly, I'm the hot favourite in that because he's got quite a few issues. So,
yeah, you're a favourite to win the whole thing now after that.
Well, look, thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure to listen to Dog's story. Is that it?
No, that's not it. No, it is. That is my story. But it was a carnage-filled weekend.
It certainly was.
It started on Thursday night. Stevie J, Bartel, McGlynn, Roughhead, Carlisle, they were all out hurting people with their teams. And then that's amongst other things. Friday night, Daisy Roy. He was one of the big boys you were talking up to get in this week.
Yeah, I did not say to get him in.
No,
I said purely consider it if you want him as a moneymaker.
Yep.
And I went on record as saying I would not do it.
Good. 21 with an ankle there. Cade Simpson, he had a poor night.
I talked him up.
Yeah. And then Mitch Duncan, as I said. Then on Saturday, JPK.
Oh.
So his hamstring for 16, in doubt for this week, but it's not written off though. So if you've got him, we're going to have to keep your ear to the ground.
Yeah.
I would say that they would not risk him at all this week.
They only play the Bulldogs. He is not playing this week.
No, he's not. There is no damage.
Bird, I'm pretty sure he's out. He's got PCL injury. He only had 45. Malcheski,
he even
had 65, and that's all he got. Ebert, 52.
No one would have Ebert anyway, so that's irrelevant, Warndog.
Paddy Ryder, Calvin, your best choice that you should have made. He only had 44.
He would still be beating Zach Clark.
Goddard, 61. People still rolling with him. Old mate Sam Butler, he was looking bloody good. He had 77.
Yeah.
Subbed out at three-quarter time for a bit of a concussion. Brody Smith, another poor game.
That's all I'd expect from him.
Now, stop.
Pathetic.
Have a time. I read one of your articles about 3 weeks back, and I need to bring this up with you. I read your article for the first time this year, and you pumped up Brody Smith, and I went, oh, Brody Smith. Oh, go Brody Smith, and got him in.
Yep.
Well, he's done nothing for me, Roy.
Well, I apologise on his behalf, not mine. He was, when you would have read that, he was coming off probably two or three 35-plus touch games in a row. He does not know how to find the pill anymore. He's pathetic. And if the commentators talk about him for being in the All-Australian mix one more time...
We will go knocking on their door.
I reckon. Dream on. He's pathetic.
You've also talked up Yenchi. He only had 64.
Yeah, that's solid for
that's
the backs this year.
Yeah. Then, that night too, Pendles was out, very late out.
Okay.
With a corky.
I've missed this. Because
yes,
I thought it was
you're
a
lucky.
Hamstring. I thought it was a hamstring. You're lucky I'm here tonight.
Yeah.
What happened with Pendles?
Well, it's a cork.
How did he get a corky?
Well, apparently
in the
he took it into the game and then it spasmed in the game.
It did what?
In the warm up.
In the warm up. Sorry, in the
spasm.
Spasm.
Do you know what triggered the spasm, apparently?
No.
A ball hit it.
A ball hit the corky?
That's what I heard.
Really?
And that's what I was like, what were they warming up with, a medicine ball? Did Swanee go lace out medicine ball into his leg?
A wrecking ball?
Exactly.
Well, that could actually explain Swanee's foot.
There you go.
All right, Jamie Elliott, he was also a late withdrawal.
My boy.
Carnage started straight away in the game as well for them. Reed was out for a zero. That's not fantasy relevant. But then Clokey... former fantasy-relevant player for the Warndogs. Don't have him now.
How many male people are
41.
On this list, Warndog?
It's huge. Beamsy, his season is over. 46 he had, and so his knee injury is game over. It's not as bad, so it should be. He should be right
now,
for next year.
I'm going to put Roy on the spot a bit later on because we all need a replacement for Beams.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Dow Sano on Sunday only had 65. That's a couple of poor games
that's
in a row.
Par.
That's not finals for football for him. Jack McRae was a laid out, as I was talking about before.
You know,
oh, look at the grin on your face. You've got your dimples up.
Dimples back.
Dimples back.
Minson. Few people are rolling with him as a bit of a point of difference ruck. Only 68. He was subbed out as well.
Really?
Ward, 46.
He's done for the year.
He's gone now. He was a bit of a point of difference, and people were quite happy with him.
Yeah, he goes all right.
POD there. Poor old Johnny Patton, 3 for his ACL, so that sucks heaps. Sandy, he only had the 60, as we said.
Oh, the dimple's back. Dimple.
For some people, Birch was 59, probably wasn't very good, but it was good for me. Your other boy, Gunston Calvin, 53.
Former boy.
McAvoy, 51. Then Suckling, 35.
Living up to his name again.
Ankle, and that would have hurt. That was a match-defining score there. That's the end of the weekend. However, this afternoon, it hasn't even finished. If you've got Fife, he's been offered 2 weeks by the match review panel. And so, well, he should take it because I think it's a bad record that actually screws him a bit there. And then the other one there, one of your players, Calvin.
Oh, wouldn't surprise me.
Brent Harvey's off to the tribunal.
He'll get
off. For a bit of misconduct.
But he didn't do anything.
All right, that's it. Okay, so.
Okay, so this week this weekend's like I need 6 or 7 trades.
Yes.
Possibly. And you were probably lucky not to actually be in phone reception to check your things going on because it was frustrating to watch.
But I reckon I had a killer match day team.
Oh, you would have. You would have dominated well match day. Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Out of all of those boys, and it's well, I'm sure it's going to come from one of those, who was your -3 this week?
I'll go first. I had a look at my team because I've been out of reception. I got home last night and I looked at it and these people get my -3. Malcheski, Birchall, Kelly, Smith, your boy, Kate Simpson, JPK, Beams, and Pendles, Mr. Spasm Leg, all get my -3.
I'll let that off this week. You can give multiple -3s with that sort of...
Did it cost
of,
you any finals matchups this week?
Did it cost you any finals matchups?
Roy, who was your -3?
Oh, Brody Smith, without a doubt. Now, that guy... He is hopeless, and because of all these injuries, he is going to get another reprieve. He'll play for me again this week. Guess what? I reckon he's going to turn up this week. But seriously, all I hear is All-Australian. If he is All-Australian, Jared Waite will captain that side this year. If Brody Smith gets in it, it is ridiculous. But he gets my -3, and if I could give out more negatives, he would get every one of them.
Rightio.
Yep.
All right, my -3. I'm gonna have to give it to Ebert. Well, it was wet up there. He can tackle still, can't he? All right, let's get a bit positive because we didn't score too badly. Roy, you ended up with a 21-46.
Yeah, it was solid enough because I definitely wrote this round off being in the prelim.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that score was okay.
That was good. Mine, 21-40, so that was enough for me. Calvin, I was reading that really good article, The Round Review. You only got 4 words in that this week about you and your team. Calvin finished with 20-51. That was
probably all it deserved. Okay, let's not just hack on Calvin for another week running, but that list of people I've just given you there, so a lot of them are unique. Malcheski's unique. Birchall probably still is. James Kelly, Brody Smith, JPK, probably a lot of people got him. Not many people have Pendles, I don't think, do they?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's
highly
popular.
Owned. Calvin, can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Why do you think these people are unique?
Oh, get out of here. Now, Chesky, easy run home, averaging 90. You actually told me to get it. James Kelly, yes.
Stop blaming me for all these fuzz.
All right. Turn your frown upside down.
Can I give a positive?
Yes.
A positive 3 points to a player?
Yeah, why not?
Who will that
well, be? Even this is a kick in the guts. Like, buddy. Okay, yes. great trade, Kerbin. Gets him in.
Oh, and who told you to get him?
You did.
Yeah, so thank you.
You provide a roller coaster for me. Buddy scores 157. I go, geez, that's wicked. Well done, buddy. Pat yourself on the back, Calvin. You're a genius. And I go, oh, I wonder what Zorko got. Because I got Zorko instead of Dale House. Zorko, 130. Oh, wicked. I made 27 points. What a move.
Oh, wow. Apologies, a bit of a break in transmission here. A few issues as I was editing this. Anyway, we're into Roy's +3. He is talking about none other than Rocky. Are you at all surprised?
Rocky still scored 33 points in the last quarter and end up on 172.
He doesn't struggle.
Averaging 164 at the Gabba in his last 3. And in his last 5 games, he's had 4 games of over 40 disposals. Where is he going to feature... in, if he could, the Brownlow with all those 40 possession games.
Well, I got on him at massive odds at the start of the year, and the ride didn't last long because he got rubbed out round one. But he will get plus 20 votes.
Yeah.
He will definitely get plus 20 votes. Now, do you know what? I want to put a challenge out there. I challenge Crowley to go to him. I challenge Ross Lyon to put him on him. He will still get 140 with Crowley on him the whole game. I have no doubt about that. Crowley cannot stop him. The reason I wouldn't do it if I was Ross Lyon, you will deplete Crowley of any tagging confidence if you put him on Rocklip. He could not stop him. He will not stop him.
All right, a bit of Rocky watch there. He's up to 732K. His break-even is 111, so it's still going up.
How is he in the race to catch Swanee Dog?
That was what the next thing was going to be. It's amazing. He's actually in front of him right now on average.
Oh, Jesus!
So it is quite exciting. He needs 266 points in the next 2 weeks.
So he can afford two bad games by his standards and still win it.
It's very, very exciting. All right. Well done, Rocky. I didn't say my plus three. I'm going to go Hanley. No one cares, though. So it's preliminary final weekend, which means that obviously it's do or die. If you lose this week, it's game over and you're sitting on the sidelines like... why'd you think I was going to say?
Because I know what you're like.
I was going to say like Calvin anyway. So there are quite a few issues. We already know straight up that we've lost Beamsy, and he is one of the most popular players this year, being a very good player for us.
He's
been great. So he's definitely gone. Also, Callum Ward, if you've got him, he's definitely out. But then there's question marks on quite a few other guys, such as Pendles, Willie or Wony for this week.
Well, Willie play?
I say yes, definitely.
If it's
a
corky.
It has to be.
It hasn't sound convincing that he will play, though. Like it's,
hasn't it?
Yeah, Rocket was going, we're hopeful, those sorts of words they always use. So.
Unless he chips a nail.
Well, who knows? Pendles. Stevie J, that's another one. And this is where Neil Baum on Friday night, the way he was talking, and then I watched that game day show on Sunday, and Jimmy was on there, and he didn't sound convincing. It was like going, it's a week-by-week prospect type
I've heard the two words hotspot used.
Yeah, so...
That's not good.
It's not a guarantee. He's not guaranteed to play. JPK, they're still hopeful, but they will not risk Kennedy against... Who are they?
The writing's on the wall there that Stevie and JPK will definitely miss, surely. I'm hopeful. I need one or obviously both of them to play, but...
This is where it comes out.
I don't like
this
my chances.
Thursday night headaches. Because when they are named,
I reckon most people
don't really want
at least I get one good night's sleep.
That's true.
Pretty much this week, I reckon we're all making two trades, and they will be in our midfield. I reckon so. And with what they're worth, you're pretty much going to be able to grab whoever you want, especially if you like Roy, who cashed up. I think last week you could basically go to whatever you need to do.
Oh, okay, I tell you what, I actually you do need the cash with it's lucky that I did cash up in some respects. Obviously, I would have been better to get rid of Steve because he's still a worry, but Beamer, he's still respectably priced at 530. But if you look at JPK, he's struggling. He's down to 510. Yeah. So you do actually need a bit of cash for him to go up to people.
Who are your best picks?
Well, my best picks. I think Matt Prittis is a chance for a Brownlow. So he's going to be playing his guts out. And he's got two really easy games.
This week.
Exactly. He's going to score really well for the rest of the year. Now, he is up to 580. So that's why I'm saying you do actually need cash to get to him. If you don't have the cash, the bloke I spoke about last week, Toby Green. Now, obviously, he went up because, as I said, he smashed it again. But he's down at that lower end of the scale. He's only 520. And he has a really good run to the end of the year as well. So he'll be really big. The pig, the original pig, Swanee, he's still well under 500K. So he's only... He's under 470.
Yeah.
So he top scored for the Pies. And, he'll crack the ton this week.
Well, look,
so that price is
against
a bargain.
GWS, his last two games, 163, 159.
There you go.
That's got to be huge. And to support what you said about Toby Green, Collingwood have given up 11... 110 plus scores in the last 2 weeks.
It's only going to get worse.
And that's guys like Rocky 165, Pritis 140, Hanley 147, Zorko 130. They're bleeding points.
There you go. Toby bleeding Green. Points. Great pick. Can I just throw in what another one that I'm thinking about doing there? You guys know I'm a bit of a DPP specialist.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you've ever put specialist at the end of it. But anyway, I'm thinking about maybe throwing Parks in the midfield.
Yep.
And getting Buddy in there for a pinch hit of one or two massive scores.
Because, yeah, again, like he's what he did on the weekend, and he'll want it.
He's going to do it two more times.
Yeah. You and me, a bit of advice for you. Buddy will be big this week. Petrie played against the Bulldogs last week, clocked up 109,
yeah,
and kicked 2 goals, 3 with 8 marks. As if Buddy is not doubling that.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, now that's very, very interesting. Another one there to think about is McGlynn. He looks set to miss another week as well. So if you were having that week off, it was the right thing to do to hold on to some of these guns to bring them back in this week. But in the end, and sorry, Roy, it is a sore point. It might come back and bite you in the ass massively.
It was going to be the masterstroke that won me the our league, but at this stage, I just wish I wasn't playing. It's going to be, the boys are really reluctant to turn up this week.
Now, I've got a couple of other big names here that probably will be big this week as well. Cotchin.
Yeah.
He's had 800 plus scores his last 9.
I know that because I got rid of him 9 games ago.
And he had 138 against St Kilda in round 15. His second highest score in the last 2 years, and he plays them again this week.
Oh, no. Wow.
So, look, if you need a guy to get in for a bit of a pinch hit, he would be there. And also, as I said, Toby Green against Collingwood's good. What about Treloar?
Yep.
As if he's not going to absolutely dominate up at Spotless Stadium. And he's averaged 118 there this year.
Mm.
118?
118 at Spotless. He's a gun. So those two guys, a couple of sneaky uniques to get in there to get you over the line. You can do it right.
I used to have them.
Yeah.
I would kill to have them back.
All right, it is Twitter time, and so we've hit Facebook and Twitter this week to find some questions for everyone. If you can catch us on Twitter, which is at AFL Fantasy, and individually at WarnieDT,
at RoyDT,
at CalvinDT,
and yes, you'll be able to get us on Facebook as well, which is at AFL, or at the AFL Fantasy Official. You can Google it, find it somehow. I don't know. All right, Bruce Donegan has the first question here, which is quite an interesting one. Should fantasy finals be played before the last 4 rounds of the season? Every year at the crucial stages, they rest players.
I don't believe so. I think that is part of it. And, you know, there's a bit of luck involved at the end, but you can also be strategic. Like, if I had have been smarter and got rid of Steve Johnson last week instead of being, you know, borderline selfish, looking to be really strong in the finals, I would be able to cover and have a respectable team on the park this week. So I think it's all part of it. I like the fact that you can have a spud team like Warnie with Ebert and that and still get through. Yeah. You know, you're still a chance to get through.
But at the start of the year when you set up your league, if you are a league commissioner, you can actually go in there and fix the settings up so it can be done.
You can do that. So, yeah, it's your choice if you want that to happen. So, very good question there. All right, quite a few have come through on Twitter today. Now, is Joe Watson an option? You know, as opposed to a Pritis or a side bottom, what do you reckon is Job sitting there?
I'm going to say no. 98 last week was a good return after missing
the first goal of the game, right, too.
But
awesome.
In his last 2 games against Gold Coast, he hasn't scored over 100. So if you're looking for a pinch hitter, as I said, guys like Cotchin are going to be a better option. But no, I don't like Watson.
I think you've got to get someone who's running hot at the moment.
Exactly.
And as I said a few minutes ago, Pritis is the man. He's in good form and he's coming up against a couple of really good opponents.
You look at the statistics, there's not really much of a difference between a Swan and a Watson.
Yeah.
And Swan this week against GWS has the runs on the board. He's a better pick than Watson.
Is Jordan Lewis, this is from Dewey, is he too much of a risk?
Yes. Look, he's gone 156, 144 in his last 2, averaging Roy 130 in his last 4.
Mm.
Right, absolutely smoking it. He had 62 against Geelong in round 5. And his last 7 against him, he hasn't cracked 100.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Amazing. Form says yes, history says no. Calvin says stay clear, but expect that to be turned around this week.
Yeah, I think, once again, I've said who I think is the man this week, but he has to be on the cards. Like, he's a nice point of difference.
How good is he?
Form alone suggests that he's a good pick, but like Calvin said, I don't particularly like his draw, really. So, yeah, probably better options, but I wouldn't blame you for doing it.
Now, it sounds like Alex has got some, well, you would call them luxury trades, because he wants to know, should we ditch Dal Santo?
Yeah, I would. If you're in a position where you're lucky enough that that's your biggest issue, I would get rid of him. Yeah, he has been just a frustration machine.
And you could get in people like Malcheski or Birchall or Kelly or Smith. Or...
yeah, no, get rid of him.
All right, now this is a good one from Matthew Poole here on Facebook. Is it worth the big upgrade to bring in Hanley in order to cancel out my opponent's point of difference? Hanley up against Fremantle, and who's going to go to him, do you reckon?
Crowley will go to him, 100% guaranteed. Last time when Crowley played him, Crowley tagged him for the first three quarters until our went crazy. Crowley held him to 43 points for the game. Now, he actually had he had 19 points or something in the last quarter.
Yeah, right.
So, till then, he was terrible. He's been absolutely smoking it, though.
Yeah.
And Crowley has to go to him again.
He has Rockcliffe
cannot be tagged.
No, Crowley cannot stop Rockcliffe. I stated that earlier, and I will stand by it. It is a fact. So he has to go to Hanley because he's had some success there.
He
so
has.
He's not going to go away from it. And it's not like Hanley's been running around doing nothing. As you said, he has been smashing it as well.
He had 147 Hanley last week, and that was with a Kaffa tag.
Okay, so are you saying, like, he's in career best form at the moment, Hanley. Yep. Better form than when Crowley beat him earlier this year. So this is a very valid question for this guy. Does he just match Hanley? Or is Hanley, is it a good point of difference to not have him, are you saying? What's going to happen here? I reckon Hanley can still turn up against Crowley the way he's playing
at
the moment.
I do. Regardless of all those stats that we just said, he's still going to score well. If Rocky scores well, Hanley scores well. They look after each other, something chronic.
Yeah. It's in Brisbane, so that helps.
Mm.
For me, it's the thing. Like, the data is really hard because Hanley smashed it last week when they got beaten by 100 points.
Mm.
Smashed it this week when they flogged Collingwood by whatever it was.
Yep.
And Fremantle, I don't know. Like, it's going to be bloody interesting.
Do you think? Put him on the line. What do you think Hanley will score this week? And he can decide then whether he's happy with taking that score.
Right. I'm going to jump straight in and go Hanley will score 92.
Oh, you dogged him a kick. 95.
Is that what you're going
with?
Yep,
95.
Do you know what's really hard about that? I can only see him going beast or getting one of those shockers.
Oh, no, that's understandable.
I don't think a 90 is in Hanley's vocabulary.
Which one is it then, dog? This guy needs to know.
Oh. I'm going to back him in to go big because I can't trade him out. So I'm going to hope that he stays there. So, yeah, just
so
cancel
better,
out the position.
Better
there.
Cancel it. Yeah.
All right. Good call. All right. Last question here is a bit of a summarising question.
Because I like these ones.
So many people have got asked this question in many different ways with lots of different players. People are going to have a lot out. How do you prioritise who you get out? And so this is kind of a general thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, what you would do, how do you go about it? Because some of them could be in the back line or forward line that are out this week. Are there going to be better options around there? How do you go about it when you do that?
It is a fine line, isn't it? Because if you've got someone that's, you know, worth a lot of money compared to someone who's down a little bit, and then you look at their, are they potentially back next week and the other one's not back. So it is a tough call. You need to maximise your points this week. And if that means getting rid of the guy that might be back next week but he's worth more money, you nearly have to do it, don't you?
Mm. That's the thing. Like, if you want to shuffle, players in your back line, you got to get rid of Dal Santo, get in someone else who could potentially have 60 as well. Yeah. Like, for me, backs especially are much for muchness. You might as well leave them to last.
So
your points are in the mids. You've got to do those guys first.
The next question, do you take, because let's say I've got cover in my mid, which might be Dean Towers, for example.
He won you the game this
week. Well, he did. Massive chance for the vest again, obviously. Probably at his peak, he's going to get you a 50.
Mm.
Do you take that, or do you actually And then fix up your back line, who also might just score you a 50 if you got in a Brody Smith.
There's no such thing as fixing up your back line.
No. So you're better off going that gun mid who's out, so getting your beams to whoever, getting your JPK to whoever, that sort of thing. You'd be better off doing that, even if you've got cover there, over even trading in the back line where you may not have cover.
These midfielders can score 140s.
Yeah.
Okay, if they do that for you, that's double what a backman is going to get.
All trades this week are prioritising who is more injured. That's basically, for everyone, that is what it is. But what I was saying is there that those guys that are all injured, you know, there is that price. And if it means getting to Pritis over, you know, someone who you're tossing up, with, say, like a Watson, you probably get rid of the more expensive guy to get to Pritis.
Yeah,
for the week, yeah.
We're pretty lucky we've even got a bloke like Swanee at under 470K.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's a good one.
That is a great option to bring in. All right, thank you for all of your questions. Sorry we couldn't get through all of them because we are running out of time here.
We are, but first, we've got a couple of NAB AFL Fantasy Match Day games this week. And look, I'm a Match Day specialist.
You are.
We all know that. On Friday night, we've got Port against Carlton. And on
Blockbuster.
And on Saturday. Hey. And on Saturday, Hawthorn and Geelong, which actually is a block.
It is, and I might just head along to that one.
I might come with you, Wanda.
Well, I'll tell you what you can enjoy. You can enjoy Josh Caddy. I'm joking.
He played in my draft league this week and was pretty good. I was pretty happy with
him. I'm going over there to watch Steve Johnson. There, I've said it.
There you go.
Royce Rivermill.
Have you got a scoop?
He's playing!
Excellent.
I wish.
I'm looking forward to that. Thank you very much for listening. It is prelim final week. Good luck if you are playing this week. If you're not, go and have a go at match day. Have a crack at that and get excited for the finals, because each game is worth $1,000 for that, and then the grand final is worth $3,000. So, any parting words, Calvin?
I just hope that your dimples don't come out this week.